I've been having a lot of fun lately, and I got back into some studies, and this was stuff that I learned at the very beginning of my Christianity. It's stuff I learned over 30 years ago, and it's been a part of my life ever since, and it played a radical role in my life. 2 weeks ago, I gave the sermon was a lot of my testimony and some teaching, and it was on how confession so radically changed my life and the impact that the words we speak have on our lives. If you're looking for a title this morning, it would be Turn the Wheel. Turn the Wheel. If you don't like the direction you're going, turn the wheel. And that'll make more sense if I get to the last verse of Scripture on the agenda. It's about the words we speak. And not only have I had a lot of fun in studying it and digging through this again and hearing teaching along these lines, I've also been getting checked a lot. God's been checking me a lot. He's been checking me almost every day in what I say. Yeah. I think if we let him, he'll check us every day in what we say. More than once. Amen. The words that we speak are so important and so powerful. And I want to read these passages of Scripture. I'm not going to go into great depth, but notice the power and the impact of these words that we're going to read. The first one is Numbers chapter 13. Keep a marker here because we might make it back. Will you guys let me teach till 2 this afternoon? That wasn't a joke, folks. But see, nobody else is scared. So guys, it's all good, you know? They just love it when I preach long, right? Okay, so here in Numbers chapter 13, they didn't go into the promised land. They didn't make it in 13. And you get into chapter 14, and you can basically kind of figure out, I'm not going to read all of it, but you can figure out God's ticked. He's really ticked. He's had it with them. He's tired of them rejecting him. And he's had it. And I'm not going to read all of these, but if you were to start in about verse 12, you know, God goes on. But I want you to jump all the way down because it gets to the end of them. Moses starts talking to God after God, you know, says some things. Moses starts talking in verse 17, and you get down to verse 19, and Moses is saying, pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the goodness of your mercy, justice, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned, now notice it, I have pardoned according to your word. Wow. What an impact Moses' word had on the Father. Wow. How many of us can go, okay, words, wow. God said, and he was ticked, you guys. If you were to go read it, he was ticked. And he just says, I have pardoned according to your word. All right, Moses, you asked for this. You asked me to pardon him. I'll pardon him because you asked me to. Wow. What a sweet relationship, huh? Amen. The place that we can have. Now let's look at another one. Go with me if you would now to 2 Kings chapter 17. No, 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 1. I didn't have a start for my sermon before I got here, and then we get here and I get one. Amen. 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite I'm not sure why he was biting all them tishes, but he was. Thank you, Sharon. I needed that. And Elisha the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except by my word." By whose word? Elijah's. Amen. So what did he do? He spoke and declared, there will be no rain. There will be no dew on the earth for 3 years, for these years, except what? By my word. Now, we know he got that word from where? The God before whom I stand. He was spending some time hanging out with the Father, and he got a word from the Father, and then he was able to speak that word and proclaim that word, and bam, the will of the Father went into motion. Through a man speaking on the earth. Wow. Except by my word. No, isn't that interesting? He said, except by my word. And I'm going to bet most of us in here know the rest of the story. It didn't rain. It didn't rain until what? Until he said so. You know what? Woohoo! This gets a little exciting. I don't know about you, but I kind of like it. Hallelujah. How many people like having some say-so? How many people like having some control? You know what? Just go ahead and raise your hand because we all know it's true anyway. Oh, no, I don't want to have any say-so. No, I don't want to be in control. Oh, bull. And besides that, if you don't have any say-so, and if you don't have any control, who does? Well, I want God to. What if he gave it to you and you don't use it? Who's given you authority on the earth to use the name of Jesus? Who's given you authority to lay hands on the sick and they get well? God's given you the authority. What's he want you to do with it? Use it? But if we don't, and we're always waiting for God to, who's going to get right in the mix? Satan's going to get right in the middle of the mix. Amen? Did Jesus ever get a little irritated or ticked off with his disciples when they wouldn't use the authority that they had in his name? Sure he did. You know what? He wants us to use it. He wants us to take advantage of these things that he has given us to walk in and to enjoy. Now, Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Y'all doing okay? Amen. Daniel 10, in verse 10, Daniel's looking for insight. He's looking for direction. He wants to understand some things. So he starts a fast. He starts a simple fast. He doesn't eat any rich foods. It's just a pretty basic fast. And jump down to verse 10. We'll pick it up there. Daniel 10:10. Then suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, "O Daniel, man greatly beloved." How many of you know that the Father would like to say to you today, "O child, greatly beloved"? How many know he loves you? He loves you. Greatly beloved. Understand the words that I have spoke to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. Now notice this. This angel has been sent to him. Well, he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard." His words were heard, and I have come because of your words. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty cool. Daniel sets his face to understand. And he puts himself before the Father. And an angel is sent to Daniel because of Daniel's words. How sweet is that? Amen? Does this stuff happen today? Is this stuff available for us today? Do our words have an impact in heaven? Oh, wow. Do our words have an impact on our Father? Will he hear us? And will he respond? Will angels get put in motion because of our words? Amen. Amen, they will. Will the Father give us words to speak when we can speak to circumstances and situations and change them? Turn around the outcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. Take your Bible. Go with me to, let's just go to James. I'm going to go to the last verse somewhere now. James, because I want to get that, turn the wheel. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and while you're going to James chapter 3, is it all right if I share a story? Whether it is or not, I'm going to, so I'm glad it is. James chapter 3. I go here often, but I got something new, another way of sharing this, another way of explaining it, thus turn the wheel. James 3 verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Thank you, God. He called me to be a pastor, and he called me to be a teacher, and then I found this verse. Okay. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now, many of your Bibles will say perfect man, but if you do the look in the margin of a lot of scripture, it'll say mature. How many of you would like to be mature? Amen. Does not stumble in word, he is a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. Wow, the whole body. Everybody say whole body. I wonder if that includes emotions. I wonder if that includes temper. I'm preaching to me right now. I have strong emotions. I used to have a really explosive temper. Thank God that you can control the mouth and get the temper under control. Amen? Control the whole body. All right. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. Stop and think about that just for a moment. How powerful is a horse? How many of you have a healthy respect for a horse? I do. I'm not near as comfortable around horses like, say, Ron and Jen. As a kid, I got thrown off of a horse. We were in a chute, and my brother Casimir was training this horse. He was working on it. And we're inside a chute that has a roof over it. And Cass says, come on, Joel, jump on. I'll give you a ride. So I get on, and I'm bent over like this because the roof is right there. And Cass is also bent over, and the horse won't back out of the chute. And Adam's on the other side, and Casimir goes, Adam, help shoo this horse out of here. Well, Adam had a rolled-up lariat in his hand, and he took that lariat, just smacked that horse right in the face. Well, guess what? That horse was out of that chute, and I was on the ground, and that horse was close to stomping on me. And Cass got up and got it away. Ever since then, I had a healthy fear of horses. I'm like 6 years old when this happened, But it's an amazing thing to me. I can't walk around the back of a horse like some people do and just put their hand on their rump and walk. I'm 15 feet behind them. Them legs are long and them hooves are hard, and I am not going to get kicked. Just not that. I have a healthy fear. They're strong. They're way more stronger than any of us in here. And yet, you can put a bit in that horse's mouth and he'll do what you want him to do. Amen? Look also at the ships. Look also at the ships. Though they are so large, man, think about how big some of them ships are. Anybody ever been on a cruise ship? How big was that? How many decks did it have? Sometimes, we were on a little one time, and we thought it was pretty cool. We're on this, and it was a little one, you know, but for us, it is a big one. And it's like 8 decks. And we're like, this is so cool, and we're in the harbor. Ours wasn't so big in just a little bit, because a huge one pulled in and just dwarfed it. This one probably had like 17 or 18 decks on it. Just came right next to the one we were in, and like we were like, wow, bummer. You know, because ours was so little and so old. It was just, but you just think how massive those things are. And then this is what I like about this here, and they're driven by fierce winds. You know, the cruise ship I was on wasn't driven by fierce winds. Does your life ever feel like it's driven by fierce winds? You ever have stuff coming at you? Amen. It's just coming against you. It's a fierce wind trying to blow you in a direction God doesn't want you to go. What happens? What happens? Driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. This very little rudder, compared to the size of that ship, gets turned by it, even though it's driven by fierce winds. Verse 5, even so the tongue. Even so the tongue. I think if James was writing this today, he might have used the illustration of the steering wheel on your car. Amen? Even though you got that car and it's got all that power and everything, it's turned by a steering wheel. Amen? So I want you to think about, when you think about these verses of Scripture, think about the steering wheel of your car. And what does it say? You got the rudder. You got the bit in the horse's mouth. And we're going to throw a steering wheel in there. What does it say, all of these three? Even so, the tongue. So just think about your tongue being the steering wheel on your car. Anybody going in a direction and you don't want to go? Anybody got things going on in your life and you're going in a direction you don't want to go? Turn the wheel. How powerful are your words? God pardoned according to Moses' words. Rain stopped according to Elijah's word. Angels responded according to Daniel's word. How powerful are your words? Do you think, now here's something I thought about this message. If you don't like this message and if you don't like the message and the truth of confession, you're going to have to throw a lot of the Bible out. You're just going to have to pitch a bunch of it because it's all over in the Bible. It's all over in there, in our words. So if you don't like, you know, I'll say to Ken once in a while, what are you building with your words? What are you building with your words? What are you building with your words? This lady friend, Bev, I shared a story about her earlier, but she smoked cigarettes. And she didn't want to smoke cigarettes. She wanted to be free. And she was learning about the power of her words. I might share two stories here. She is learning about the power of her words. And we had a guest minister, Greg Runyon, coming in. And he was going to be teaching at the church in Rushville. And I was just encouraging people, hey, get the switch of faith turned on. You know? Be believing God. He's going to do things for us. God's going to work through Greg, and good things are going to happen. And Bev, about 2 months out, maybe 6 weeks out, she decided that Greg was going to lay hands on her and pray for her, and she's going to be done smoking. And every time I saw her, and she worked at the radio station, so whenever I'd go down to do the radio program, she would say, Pastor, when that missionary gets here, when Greg gets here, he's going to lay hands on me, he's going to pray for me, and I'm going to be done smoking. She'd come to church on Sunday, Pastor, when that missionary gets here, he's going to lay hands on me and he's going to pray for me. I'm going to be done smoking. She'd show up on Wednesday night, Pastor, when that missionary comes, he's going to lay hands on me, he's going to pray for me, and I'll be done smoking. Okay, 2 months. Every time I saw her, she said that to me. She just said it over and over. She just kept saying it. And during that 2 months, guess what she didn't try to do? She didn't try to quit. And she loves God. How many of you know you can love God and smoke cigarettes at the same time? I love you, God. You can. You know, there's a bunch of people that do all kinds of things, and they love God. And what they're doing is far worse than smoking cigarettes, if you want to go down that path. That doesn't mean they don't love God. It just means something's got them. Well, cigarettes had her. And she wanted free. She wanted free, so that's what she started confessing. You know, he's going to lay hands on me. I'm going to be done smoking. Well, 2 months. I don't know how many times she said it to other people, but every time I saw her, she said it to me. He's going to lay hands on me. I'm going to be done smoking. Just going to be done. So, he was there Sunday morning, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. Tuesday night, Bev comes up. And I'm standing watching, and I see her talk to him. I know exactly what she said to him. You're going to lay hands on me. You're going to pray for me. And I'm going to be done smoking. And he went, okay, all right. Laid hands on her, prayed for her. She was done smoking. Never had another cigarette. Never had a withdrawal. Didn't gain any weight. Yeah, praise God. How many of you know when you try to quit smoking, you got to, you know, start putting, you know, food in your mouth? She didn't gain any weight. And what cracked me up was we had this guy in our church, Joe. And he smoked also, and he ran a restaurant. And Joe saw Bev quit smoking. So Joe just said, if she can do it, I can do it. Put that last cigarette out. Oh, man, his employees were wishing he'd start smoking. Guess who got crabby? Guess who gained about 25, 30 pounds? Joe, he did quit. But how many of you know there's a better way? What if he would have just started getting ready? Here's another smoking story. Amen. I'm not preaching against smoking, okay? How many of you know I am not preaching against smoking? Amen. So if you're smoking and you want to keep right on smoking, well, tune me out for a while till we get it to another subject matter, okay? I know you love God. I'm getting some looks. But this guy, he wanted to quit in the worst way. He is a Christian. He wanted to quit in the worst way. He wanted to quit so bad. He had bought more patches than you could shake a stick at. He had chewed cases of gum. He had had cigarette, nicotine, everything cast out of him. You know, he'd been prayed for, all kinds of stuff. And he's telling this minister friend of mine about it. And he's just going on and on about, I can't quit. I've tried everything. I can't. I want to be free, but I can't. I just can't quit. What's he saying? I can't. Which way has he got the wheel? I can't. I've tried it all. The best have prayed for me. I can't. That's where he's got the wheel. And a friend said, would you do something for me? Well, what? Would you just start saying that you're free? Would you just start saying, I'm free? I'm free? You know, you go buy a pack of cigarettes, just say, I'm free. You pull a cigarette out and you light it up and you take a puff and say, I'm free. He goes, but I'll be smoking. And the guy goes, I know, you're smoking already. Well, you got a point there. You know, but I'll be smoking. What, just, I'm free. I'm free. Anybody in here got something you want to be free of? Maybe it's not cigarettes, but you got something you want to be free of? So this guy, after several minutes of talking him into something he wasn't even sure he believed, agreed. Okay, all right, I'll just start saying I'm free. So he'd go buy a carton of cigarettes, I'm free. Opening them up, old smokers, you know. You tap them like that, you know, and unzip that thing. I'm free. Between every puff, I'm free. I'm not preaching against smoking. I'm free. I'm talking about free. I'm talking about the words we say. I'm talking about turning the wheel. Now, which way was his car going? But what did he do with his words? He turned the wheel. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. For about 3.5 weeks. I mean, he said it all the time. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. standing outside on the sidewalk one afternoon. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. He was done. He is done. He just turned the wheel. Man, I want to tell you what, folks. Turn the wheel. Turn and look at someone and say, turn the wheel. Where are you going? Where do you want to go? Is your life going in a direction that you don't want it to go? Are circumstances and situations in your life going in a direction you don't want them to go? Well, turn the wheel. Turn and look at somebody else and say, turn the wheel. Amen. And how many situations, how many circumstances, how many areas in your life do you have that you can do this for? That you can do this in? How many areas? Every area of your life. How many of you'd like your finances to go in a different direction? I like the direction mine are going because about 35 years ago, I pointed them in a certain direction. My God meets all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know what? I haven't changed. I haven't changed for that. I haven't let that one go. You know what? 10 years down the road, I got needs. Guess what? They're already met. My God meets all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know, which are your words going in the direction you see your life going, or are your words going in the direction that the Word of God has for you? Pay attention to your words. Pay attention to what you're saying. Words are powerful. Amen? Wow, when we think about it, the power that we have with our words, the power that we... And do you know what? It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. I will not pick on anybody. I will not pick on anybody. I will not pick on anybody. See, I will not pick on anybody. Amen? It doesn't matter. This is so cool. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be 82, and your words are powerful. You could be 12, and your words are powerful. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how short you are. All that stuff, it just doesn't matter. Your words have power. Your words can set the course of your life. How many of you go, okay, Pastor, all right. I hope people grab a hold of this. I hope people will grab a hold of it. Because you know what? I got, okay, all right. You ready? We're just about ready to get started here. I don't mean to make you nervous. Just having fun. If you want to get all the references to these later on, you can come up on my iPad. I was going to have these all printed out for you, but my printer wouldn't work. And then I realized at home, I didn't want to print out about 75. Well, it was going to take 3 pages each. I didn't want to have to print. Yeah, and I shrunk the text size down as much as I could, and there was still 3 pages worth. So I'm going to read it to you right now. Yeah, 3 pages worth. Nope. Actually, I got some highlighted. Anyway, all right. You guys doing okay? Amen. Oh, I got a text from Tony Cook. I am getting so blessed lately. Many of you know Tony Cook. Here's this minister who travels around the world. And he texts me on Saturday on a regular basis, encouraging. I'm like, God, there are other people in the world that could be texted by Tony, but I get one. Blesses me. Jonathan Starks. He spoke a word over me in August. And it's coming to pass. It's happening. He sends me one every Saturday. Trying to get him down here. He's a neat, neat man. Minister's really cool. But let me just read some verses of Scripture out of Proverbs. And like I said, if you want all the references for these, you can come up and get them and write them down. Or I can text it to you. I could email it to you. We could do that. Amen. Listen to these. Proverbs 6:2. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Now, just as we listen to these, you tell me if your mouth has any impact on your life. I'm not reading all of them, just the highlighted ones. Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 10, 20, and 21. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. But the heart of the wicked is worth little. I love this. The lips of the righteous feed many. But fools die for lack of wisdom. Proverbs 12, 5, and 6. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked is deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. What will deliver people? The mouth of the upright will deliver them. Did we hear anybody hear about anybody getting delivered from smoking? How'd they do it? Their mouth. Their mouth. I'm free. I'm free. What'd he do? He turned the wheel. He turned the wheel. Aren't you glad it doesn't have to be any harder than that? I mean, tell me, how hard is this? Turn the wheel. Turn the wheel. Turn to look some see. Turn the wheel. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're not too young to turn the wheel. You're not too young to turn the wheel. What do you want different in your life? Wouldn't it be a bummer to get up into heaven and say, God, I had to put up with this my whole life. And he look at you and go, no, you didn't. Don't you remember that Sunday morning when Pastor Joel was preaching my word? And he told you about turning the wheel? But you didn't like it? Or you didn't do anything with it? Or you forgot it? You didn't have to put up with that your whole life. You had the power to change it. You could have had a totally different outcome. I'm looking forward to getting up to heaven. I am. And thanking God for this beautiful life. And this is from a guy that didn't want to be born. This is from a guy who was mad at his mother and father for bringing him into this stinking world. I didn't ask to be here in the first place. Why'd you bring me here? That was me. Not today. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs 13, 2 and 3. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. You liking what you're eating? But a fool, no. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth will preserve his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. What's that mean, he who opens wide his lips will have destruction? The fellow that just talks, and got no guard over his mouth, doesn't even pay attention to what he says, but just talks. Did you know it says that the Bible says where there's an abundance of words, sin is not lacking? How many of you know sometimes it's just good to and make sure that what we're saying is right? Make sure that what we're saying is life. How many of you remember, I've said this before lots of times with that horse, why do you bridle a horse? There's two reasons. One, so he doesn't go where he wants. Two, so he goes where you want. I mean, I want to bridle my mouth so it doesn't go where it wants. So my life doesn't go where it wants. I want to put a bridle on this thing. I want to grab a hold of this thing. And then I want to start directing my life. Y'all doing okay? It's quiet in here. Maybe that's a good thing. Is that a good thing? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm doing all the talking. Won't give you a chance to say anything. How many of you kept a marker there in Numbers? Numbers 13. Okay, Numbers chapter 13. I want to ask you a question as you're getting to Numbers chapter 13. And I think you're getting there faster than I am. Numbers 13. Let me ask you a question. What kept, and let's put it this way, what did the 10 spies, what was their reasoning, what kept them, according to them, out of the promised land? Listen to the question again. According to them, what kept them out of the promised land? According to them. Now, I'm kind of getting clear here on this. According to them, what kept them out of the reason, what kept them out of the promised land, the reason they couldn't go into the promised land was the giants. Was it the giants that kept them out of the promised land? What kept them out of the promised land? It was the words they spoke out of their mouths. Can I ask you a question? God got any promises for you? There any giants between you and those promises? What you gonna do? What you gonna do about them giants? See, the giants did not really keep them out of the promised land. The giants couldn't. They kept themselves out of the promised land with their own mouths. God got any promises for you? Now, how many of you remember me saying at the beginning of this message, I've been getting checked every day? Yeah. I dug into this truth again, and I'll be going through my day, and I'll see a promise, and then a giant will walk into view. Oh, yeah. It's going on right now, and I'm left with a choice. What am I going to do? Oh, God. Oh, God. There's a giant out there. What am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab a hold of the Word of God. I'm going to keep God's Word fixed on my lips. He'll watch over His Word and perform it. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, longing to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I tell you what, if your mouth is staying loyal and true to the Word of God, there's an indicator of where your heart's at. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what's so cool about this? You can turn the wheel. You can turn the wheel. I'm free. But I'll be smoking. I know. You're smoking anyway. Turn the wheel. Okay. Okay. I'll turn the wheel. I'll turn the wheel. Amen, I'll turn the wheel. There's so many places in life, every place of life, we can speak life to it. I don't want to go there. I'm a blessed man. You know one of the reasons I'm a blessed man? Because I keep saying I'm a blessed man. We got blessed children. You know one of the reasons we got blessed children? is because my wife, for the last 30-some plus years, has been speaking over our children. Our children are taught of the Lord. Great is the peace of our children because they're taught of the Lord. 30-some years speaking that over them, saying that over them. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Amen. I found a wife. I found a good thing. There's so many areas. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Got any promises in front of you? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm bringing this thing to an end way faster than I wanted to. Proverbs chapter 4. How many of you know I got a lot more Proverbs? You guys doing okay? How many of you are really hearing? You're really hearing what I'm saying today. Tuning in. I mean, just really tuning in, because I tell you what, like I said at one point, if you don't believe, I would challenge you to go through your Bible. I would challenge you to come up here and get all those Proverbs I have about the power of our words. And I would challenge you to look them all up. And then look up all the other verses in the Bible about your tongue and your mouth and how powerful it is. And how many of you know it's kind of quiet in here and it's kind of solemn in here? But how many of you know this is really, really good news? It is really, really good news. Turn and look at somebody and say, this is good news. And you ought to just say, thank you, Pastor, for preaching such a good message. It's because it's true. It's true. Turn and look at someone and say, it's true. It's God's word. Everything I've been saying today comes out of here. Proverbs 4. And you know, I'm really glad that God's been checking me. You know why he's been checking me? Because he's got something for me. He's checking me with my mouth. I'll say something, he'll check me. Oh, why is he checking me? Because he's got something better than what I'm saying. Yeah, it's good. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. And not only he's not just checking me, he's also encouraging me. There's an encouragement in that. Come on, keep going. Keep going. Keep turning that wheel. Keep turning that wheel. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Just let this all sink in. My son, give attention to my words. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. Wow. What's his word? Life. 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 They are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. God's word is health to all our flesh. Health. Praise God. Anybody want your health to be even better? I do. His word. Health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. One translation says, guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it spring the issues of life. One translation says this, out of it springs the forces of life, the life forces. Where does life, the issues of life, spring forth from? The heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I wonder what he wants us to get into our heart. I could shift in my teaching and go in a different direction, but I don't want to right now. You know what? Why are we supposed to guard our heart? Make sure a bunch of junk doesn't get in there. Make sure a bunch of garbage doesn't get in there. Why are we supposed to give attention to his word? Why are we supposed to fix our eyes on his word and not be looking at everything else? Because his word is the promises. And we go start getting our eyes on other stuff, guess what we're going to be looking at? Giants. Wind. Waves. Is that making sense to you? Catch what I'm following there? Peter out walking on the water. The wind and the waves. Got his eyes off the word that Jesus spoke. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now notice verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Don't you think it's a little bit interesting that out of the heart flow the issues of life? And then he gets into this verse of scripture and says, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Why? Because our words are powerful. And what are you building with your words? Put perverse lips far from you. Head with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, and that, I think, will be our last verse of scripture. You guys still doing okay? You doing all right? Okay. I said 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Jesus said, everybody say Jesus said. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and doubt not in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Who said that? Who said that? Jesus said. Turn and look at someone and say, Jesus said. Did I make this up? Oh, I know. Kenneth Hagin did. You know, a lot of people think Kenneth Hagin came up with this, that confession stuff. How many of you know Kenneth Hagin didn't come up with it? You know what? I'm not going to make fun of people who, or put people down who are mindful of their confession. Do you know a lot of people make fun of people when it comes to their confession? When you start to get teaching like this? There's a whole bunch of people in the body of Christ that'll make fun of this. They'll call it the name it and claim it, the blab it and grab it. They'll make fun of it. Who are they making fun of? They're making fun of Jesus. Because Jesus started this. Jesus started this. Now, they don't think they're making fun of Jesus, but they're making fun of his teaching. Now, have people ever abused this teaching? Yes. Most definitely. But does that mean the teaching is wrong? No. Is it good to discipline your children? But do people ever abuse discipline? Yes. Oh, I know the solution. Throw discipline out. Just throw it out. Don't spank your kids no more. Never mind that the word talks about disciplining your children, but because people have abused and misused discipline of children, we no longer discipline children anywhere. You wouldn't go there, would you? So are we going to throw out a truth from the Word of God just because people have abused it? I'm not going to. I'm going to hang on to it, and if people want to make fun of me, then go ahead and make fun of me. As I'm blessed. As I've got a beautiful marriage. An amazing wife. Wonderful kids. All of my needs are met according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I got divine health. I get to speak words of life that make a difference in people's lives for eternity. I get to share the greatest message this world has ever heard with people. And they receive Christ and get eternity in heaven. Go ahead, make fun of me. I'm okay. I love what I get to do. I love what I get to do. How many of you love what you get to do? And what I'm talking about is your Christianity. You love what you get to do with your words. You love what you get to do with your life. You love the opportunity to get to put into people. I bet Diana, I know that Diana loves doing worship. And that's just a small part of it. You love it, Jen? How about you, Rick? You've been involved in worship, gosh, maybe since, how young were you when you started in church worship? 20? And for a long time, you've been involved with it, almost steady, for a long stretch. Love it. Blessed. Blessed by God. Blessed by God. Amen. Hallelujah. I said 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, didn't I? Anybody want me to get there? And someone said, yeah, Pastor, but take your time. Okay, I thought that. Nobody else said it. 1 Peter. You guys are all there, and I'm still getting there. 1 Peter chapter 3. Just a question for you. 1 Peter chapter 3. I start at verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days. How many of you would say, okay, sign me up. Sign me up to love life and see good days. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. What's evil that we're supposed to refrain our tongue from? What's evil? You know, wouldn't it be a good thing to think about that if we're supposed to refrain our tongue? Now, this is the Word of God, amen? And we believe the Word of God and we live by the Word of God, amen? I'm in the right place today, praise God. He who would love life and see good days. How many of you want to love life and see good days? Whoa. Could your life be the product of what you say? He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. What's evil? What's evil? If you were in Numbers chapter 13, I'd have you look and see where the evil report started. It's really interesting. I'd encourage you to go back there and look at it. And different Bibles are going to be different. But it says, one translation says, they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Another one says they gave the children of Israel an evil report. You know what that evil report was, and you know where it started? The evil report didn't start when they said, there's giants in the land, you know, fortified cities. None of that was the evil report. All of that was natural facts. Amen? You know where the evil report started? After Caleb had said, let us go up at once. But the other 10 gave an evil report and said, we can't. That's when the evil report started. And the evil report was opposite of what God said. You want to know what's evil? Let him refrain his lips from speaking evil. Stop speaking opposite of what God says. If you want to see light, see good days and love life, let him refrain his lips from evil, his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Speak the truth, man. What's the truth? God's word is the truth. Speak the truth. I've done this in the past. I'd like to do it again. I might teach a 3-month series on our tongue. How many of you know there's enough stuff in the Bible to do that? There's enough stuff in the Bible to do that. There's enough just to go that long on talking about our tongue. I don't think I'm going to do a 3-month teaching on our tongue, but you could. Years ago I shared this, and I just think it would be good. I challenge people to do this in your house. Oh, and it's so much easier today. You can do it with your phone now. There's simple ways to do this. This is so much simpler than it used to be to do because of the technology. You can do it with your iPad. You know, how many of you know you can just turn your phone on and it can record what you say? I think it'd just be really cool some night at home, you're sitting around the table and somebody pulls out your phone and they don't let anybody know it, and you just put it out there on the table and you just hit record. And you just record the conversation. And then play it back. It'd probably be interesting. How do you think it might be interesting? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand up. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you in here have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. You have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I presented that question, if you wondered, what's that? You don't. Because if you know Jesus, you know him. He's Lord. He's Savior. He's the one who's forgiven you of all of your sins. But if you're in this place this morning and you have never asked Jesus,